Welcome to The Authentic Life of KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing, and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Dive to the soundtrack of your soul. Every beat and lyric will move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. Hey guys, it's Kitty. Today I have with me the Dirty Royals. Welcome in, guys.
Hello.
Talk to me about you and the band and just kind of introduce us to you guys.
This is Mark. My name is Danny. This is Matt. The Dirty Royals, we've been a band since January of 2023. And we're just a straight up rock and roll band, Northern Indiana represent.
So, nice. What musical influences would you say you have?
Led Zeppelin, definitely Rush with Neil Peart.
Nice.
Drummers. Yeah. I have a lot of musical influences. I grew up in a musical family. I started playing mandolin when I was 7 years old. So, you know, anywhere from bluegrass to, you know, Loretta Lynn, Conway Twitty, Judas Priest, Neo, Pantera, all the way up to Falling in Reverse.
Oh, nice.
Music that's out. I mean, I'm a music lover, period.
All across the board,
yeah.
Nice. What about you?
So, I'm a huge Mark Tremonti, Zach Wild guitar player fanatic.
Nice.
Wide range. I listen to everything from, like Mark said, like, you gotta have a classic, stuff, Led Zeppelin, some Pink Floyd, all the way up to Slipknot and Dave Matthews. So, I'm kind of a music whore, I guess. I just listen to everything. If it sounds good.
I think that's the best way. Like, I love so many different kinds of music. I definitely have my preferences, but there's not really one type of music that I absolutely, well, I don't like classical very much. I like everything else.
I think you can get lost in any kind of music.
Yeah.
And, you know, it depends on your frame of mind. It depends on, you know, what you're looking for. And that's the way I see it, I guess. Yeah. And it's all of it has beauty, I guess.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it all reaches out to, it reaches different people. If it's not, you know, something that reaches me, it's going to reach somebody. So I think that is the language of music, I guess, is you don't have to necessarily speak a certain language. You just have to speak that music kind of, you know, for it to get to you. How has music been influential for you guys in your life? And just across the board, how's it been influential to you guys?
Music can pull you from the depths of your body. Yeah, the depths of hell, you know. Really, I am a huge visual person, and I believe in the show, and I believe in the entertainment aspect of it. You know, I grew up, of course, as a little kid. I grew up, I mean, I was born, you know, early 70s. And
me too.
You know, it was a terrified face, Mark. Anyway, I was born in the early 70s, you know, so as a little kid, 8, 9, 10 years old, I was every chance I got, I was watching Kiss.
Yeah.
I was watching the spectacle, you know, of that. And then, you know, growing into being a young teenager, you know, the first time I heard Ronnie James Dio with Black Sabbath was it for me. You know, that's influenced lots of even more of the newer music too that I love to listen to, because all of that's influenced by those bands: Zeppelin, Kiss, Dio, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden. Mm-hmm. You know, the mega bands that are legendary nowadays. Yeah. That have been around for 50 years. You know. So I guess my biggest influence is the spectacle as well as the music, but the spectacle is right up there with it, presence, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you think?
I think my biggest influence came from the early 80s when CD players first came out.
Yeah.
My dad had bought a Iron Butterfly CD, and it had Ingata La Vida on it. And that 12-minute drum solo, that was pretty much what did it for me. I knew what I wanted to do.
It was a switch that went off, and you were like, this is it.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice, nice.
I'm about to disappoint these guys a little bit here because when I was a little kid.
That's and, a daily occurrence.
It's a guitar player thing. When I was a little kid, I can remember sitting by my parents had a big old radio system when I was a little kid. And the first thing I grew up listening to was Barry Manilow.
Mm.
And it was like my favorite song across
the world. Oh, dude, kid, man. I appreciate that. For real.
Back in like I was born in the 70s as well here. So when I first saw a Skid Row's video for Youth Gone Wild, I get to sit on my couch in my parents' room. I was 14 years old, I think. And that's what I was going to do. And I pursued that relentlessly ever since. And it's not, to me, it's not about the fame or the money. The money would be nice, don't get me wrong. But
I won't complain about the money.
Yeah, yeah, right. Someone wants to write me a nice check.
Right, right.
I always accept. But it's more about just following what you're supposed to be here to do. You know, like,
yeah.
I've always loved music. It's guided me through, like some of the worst times of my life to some of the best times of my life. So,
yeah. It's always music is always a placeholder. Like, you know, we use it for different parts of our life, for funerals, for weddings, for like birthdays, all those things. It's just that mark in time for us. And I love that you love Skid Row because that's Youth Gone Wild, but like 18 in Life and all those are just like time moments for my teenage life, you know.
Their first two albums were fire. Every song
was
amazing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a, when I get, sometimes when I get pumped up for a show, I have Skid Row on a playlist.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I have Skid Row, I've Disturbed on that playlist. I got Slayer. I've got all kinds of stuff that I like to listen to before we go on stage. It does get you in a mood. It pumps you up. You know? So.
Yeah. It's kind of sentimental on a lot of levels. I really like, I saw Warrant and Skid Row together. A teenager, and so I was like, it brings back good memories.
Oh yeah,
I was fortunate enough to meet Sebastian Bach after the band had split, and he was doing his solo album. So I got to meet him and tell him what an influence he was in my life. And then I got to meet the other guys, Scotty Hill and Dave Sabre were the guitar players. So I got to meet those guys, and it's kind of a cool thing to go up to them and just be like, hey man, I am what I am because of you guys.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and I love that about music. I mean, it's. Now, I won't say everybody, but like for me, one of my bands is Otherwise, and I know the guys, and the reason why I know them is because they really brought me through a really shitty time in life. But it's like, it's just a song. And I'm like, it's just a song. It's not just a song. Right. It saved me, you know, don't diminish it. It's not just a song.
It's left a scar on you.
Yeah.
That's the way I kind of like to look at it. You know, one thing that I want to do with the music that we write is of course, I want it to touch people, leave a scar. So you remember it, you know?
Yeah.
Because so many out there that has left a scar on me, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So what is something that inspires you? I know the industry, we could talk either way. So the industry, you have to have something that inspires you if you want to play in this industry. But just on a personal level as well, what are some things that inspire you?
Just a good guitar riff.
Yeah.
Whatever Matt can conjure up and just play around with, it just kind of breaks your mind in half to where you're not really thinking about reality anymore. You're thinking about what could be in the future.
I love that.
I highly agree with that. That was very insightful, Mark.
Yeah, that's good.
That was insightful for a drummer. Do you play an instrument at all?
Oh, no.
If you want to learn, play bass, okay? Don't play drums or guitar. Anyway,
no.
That was very insightful, man. So I guess, man, there's lots that go into it for me, like the guitar. I mean, you hear Rock You Like a Hurricane. If I hear Stricken by Disturbed, we could talk about all kinds of older bands, newer bands, or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But that was a very good way to put that. There's other influences as well. I have people that are friends and family of mine who are very inspirational to me.
Yeah.
To play music, you know, when you have those stars in your eyes and you're just, I had, back when I was younger, I used to sneak into a certain club, you know, before I could be in the club.
Right.
And I would watch these guys play that I had known that were friends of a cousin of mine. And I got to be super good friends with these guys too. And those guys inspired me so much that I just, that's all I ever wanted to do was play music.
I love that.
I've been fortunate enough to do it for a lot of years. I mean, I'm young.
Yeah. I'm 20. I love it. I love the imprints that people live on.
But I've been doing it for a long time, you know, and it's just a pure love of it.
Yeah.
I could go into all kinds of stuff about playing in a cover band and not want to do that anymore and just really stepping on a stage, whether there's a dime put in my pocket or not.
Yeah.
Which that's not the case. We're coming along with all that.
Sure.
But
sure.
It doesn't matter when you step up there and you have a great crowd who forget about their worries for 2 or 3 hours while you're up there to play for that, you know, helping to play for them, you know?
Yeah, it's true. When you have the ability to help someone forget about, you know, about all their shit that's going on in their life, just for a moment, you give them a little bit of peace and joy.
Right.
There's just not enough of that in life right now.
There's not. I think for myself, when I'm playing a riff, like you got to feel it inside. Like anybody can kind of, you can piece stuff together musically, but if you don't have that feeling inside, mm-hmm. and that you go to the stage and that feeling, the audience is going to grab that feeling. They're going to pick up on that. And that's probably the single most important thing for me is that people, you've got that feeling that you can relate to people. You know, I mean, as much as I want them to forget, I want them to also realize that, hey, you're not alone in this fight. We're all doing this together. And me and anybody else, we're all doing this. So if you don't feel to it, then.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference. And I don't know all the behind the scenes, you know, from all the music and things like that. But I definitely see a big difference when I'm watching fans versus musicians and the interaction on when it's authentic and when it's just kind of face value. And I think it can be absolutely impactful, you know, depending on why you're in it. I mean, obviously we all want enough money to live and that would be amazing, but the music industry is quite different than it used to be. But I think that authenticity, I see that grow, you know, a fan base. And then sometimes it's like you have your fan base. Then every time you put music out, it doesn't even matter if it's good anymore because they believe in you. They're going to go and buy it.
Right.
Yeah. So have you guys had hard times in your life where music has made an impact on you or on your mental health? I want to kind of dig a little bit into the mental health aspects just of life. Do you mind talking about some of the times that it's made an impact on you?
Yeah, for me, battling with depression and anxiety, there's been a lot of dark days where your mind really wanders off into the deep end. Just putting in a pair of earbuds, playing along with anything. It could be just songs off the radio, whatever YouTube pulls up, just anything that can release any of my anger towards, well, at the time it would be towards myself, for feeling and thinking that I'm such a wasteoid at times.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's really brought me back to, I guess I would say a level of happiness where I don't have to battle with those thoughts anymore.
Yeah.
Just anytime you feel down on yourself or you feel the weight of the world crashing down on you, just really any instrument will do. But for me, of course, you know, I got to beat the crap out of a drum set.
Hey,
I'm coming up on 6 years clean off of heroin here this May. A band that I listened to the very onset of my recovery was a band called Fightful out of St. Louis. And my God, those guys, like, it was so nice to, like, find a group that was, like, saying what I was thinking, realizing that I wasn't alone going through all this. And, like, and they had a positive message behind what you were doing. That, I mean, when you're in that state of mind, you don't want to feed anything negative in your mind. So, like, I had to kind of push some of the heavier stuff I listened to out for a while. And it was, like, that was the music that really pulled me through, like, I've made it kind of like a mission of my own, like, go see that band somehow and somehow let them know, hey, thanks for giving me a few more years on this planet. I mean, I really appreciate it. Like, but that's music has been that important to me my whole life. Like, it's, I've dealt with substance issues up until my early 40s when I finally got sober. And it was there and always helped at least make me feel understood or kind of related. I never felt alone when I had music. And to sit in my room all day and to, like, take those feelings that you got inside and be able to put them into a melody or a chord progression, and whether it ever sees the light of day or not, it doesn't matter. It just feels like it's a release coming out. And that's, you got to have that in music. That's part of that authenticity that I crave for in music.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that, because I think you making yourself vulnerable on something, I would say, as gentle as most people talk about addiction and things like that, when people do talk about it, it really does save other people. I've lost a sibling due to addiction. And so I'm absolutely, it makes my heart very happy to see people who can pull themselves through, because I know it's a constant struggle. I think a lot of times people think that it just goes away. It's just suddenly it's just gone. why can't you just stop? So I really appreciate that you know, you talk about it and make yourself vulnerable on it, because it will make a difference in other people's lives. It really will.
I hope so, because I don't want to look at those days and think they're all for nothing. You know what I mean? Like, this guy here sat with me for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6, pretty much ever since I got out of rehab 5 years ago. I mean, every Sunday we met religiously for lunch. And the whole onset of doing that was to help him keep me in line, because he had a few more years under his belt than I did.
Yeah.
So, I don't ever take for granted what I've been through, good or bad. But I mean, if I can help someone else with it, goddamn, let's do it. You know what I mean? That's
kind of my evolution, kind of in my therapy, growing from the things that I've learned about myself. Mm-hmm. Well, we had sat down and talked about it. We were talking about addiction. And I'm a storyteller when I sing, or before I sing, I will explain. And then there's 3 songs we do at the beginning of our show that I don't explain. And then everything else, I tell a little story.
Mm-hmm.
30, it might be 10 seconds. It might be a minute that I talked. Well, last place was in the bat. We do tell a story about addiction, about if you are addicted, get help. We're here for you. And, you know, Matt has let me kind of tell his story a little bit on stage, and Mark as well. But I think for me, to answer the question, because I see squirrels a lot.
It's so, okay. I need to.
To answer the question, I think music is, you know, I've been through breakups. I mean, I've bawled like a baby listening to certain music. I try my very best to keep this positive, optimistic outlook on life. I try. Everybody should try.
Sure.
Some do better than others, I think. But, you know, I can name songs. Poem by Taproot pumps me up. Fever by Bullet for My Valentine.
Mm.
If I'm getting ready to really rage, when I go up on stage, I listen to The Game by Disturbed.
Mm.
And those influences right there are what I choose. Instead of, I've never really gone down a depressive rabbit hole. I think everybody does to a certain point. You know, I mean, I've been there. To where, like I said, I've bawled my eyes out listening to certain music, you know, for missing somebody, you know, a breakup, you know, what am I doing here? You know, that kind of stuff. Music pulls you from that depth, you know? So.
Yeah, I think it's just beautiful. It's sad. One thing, it's sad that we have to have music to let people know they're not alone. Like, right. We have so many people around us. Like, we should never, ever feel alone, but we do every single day. But knowing that music is something that's there, and you can listen to the same song 10, 20, 30 times, and then something happened in your life, and all of a sudden you hear it completely new and completely different through different
eyes. Beautiful. That's what I love about music right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that part of it for sure. Why do you guys think there is such a bond between music and mental health? And I think it's just something that we don't talk about a lot. You guys and myself obviously have experienced that bond. What is it, you know, that do you think connects everybody?
Well, music has the ability to bypass your intellect and go straight to your heart. So listening to music and certain lyrics, that can really pull you from whatever you're struggling with, whether it's depression, drug addiction, any other kind of addiction, maybe alcoholism. I struggled with that for years also. Yeah. Yeah, like just whatever you put into your heart is what's going to come out of you. Yeah. So if you're putting in the wrong things into your heart, the wrong things are going to come out. So music has always been, you know, an influential language and speaks directly to everybody, no matter what their situation is or anything like that. So,
yeah, and you, me, and everybody could hear one song.
I love this dude, man.
I know. He has some great. Look at all that knowledge you're letting them know you have.
Get deeper.
I love too with music, like you guys and myself and 100 other people could hear a song and we could all take completely different things from it. So I do love that too, because even though sometimes music is written about a specific situation, a lot of the times that is not what each individual person will take from it.
Yeah.
Right. Well said. You sure you don't play bass, man?
Go ahead and call that one up, Danny.
He's your philosopher of the band.
Whatever you put out, you get back, you know, okay? And I can kind of lead in from this. We do a song that's called Fuck Around and Find Out, FAFO, right? And that song is pretty much about what you think about can make you or break you. Mm-hmm. You know, it can. It can. If you think about good, positive, try your best, you're going to get good karma. Your life's going to be good. You're going to be on the right track. But if you think about shit, your life's going to go to hell. And, you know, that mental health is all in there, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's a line in there. It's like, you know, it's like like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die, to hold those feelings of stress and resentment and, you know, all kinds of different things. But, man, really, he just showed me up. So I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, what was the question again?
Don't look at his shirt either. He's wearing a bear shirt. Do you believe that?
Representing the Windy City, baby. This is a Steeler fan.
Hey, we're being mild, Kitty. We're yeah.
I'm behaving myself right now.
It's okay.
Pretty much he is.
I've been around a while. It's okay.
That's the first Spanish he's interviewed, right?
I think it would be great back in the 80s to interview like the Motley Crue, Skid Row, all those bands.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, how crazy would that be? Just get on YouTube and check some of those interviews out.
Yeah, they didn't look good.
Yeah, and they do them, but it's just, I've talked about this on a lot of the podcasts that I've done, just talking, because I'm 48. And so that's the era I grew up in. And you saw the giant tour buses and you see all this lavish lifestyle. And then now it's like, I got a bus. It looks like a kidnapper van. I'm going to go and I'm going to do a tour.
I got to drive my own self to a gig. What do you mean? You got a van?
Hey, we got a camper, but I can't afford the gas to pull it.
Right. It's just different.
You know?
But like nowadays, it's so much more authentic now, I think. You know, like,
right.
When
so
you look
too.
At the 80s, like, I always had a hard time with, like, you know, what was that? Every Rose Has a Thorn, my boys. And like, you're out making how much money with all these drugs and women and you're lonely?
Yeah.
How was that? But that was a 15-year-old mind compared to a lot older mind now, we'll say.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, I think it's more authentic. And I think, I think it's more impactful now for so many people, because musicians, some of them are untouchable, but with social media, it's not so untouchable, you know, it's not,
right.
You know, so I can't talk to them. Everybody has made themselves a lot more available now, which can be a good and a bad thing, you know?
Right.
So what kind of things do you guys have coming up?
We're working on some bigger national shows at the moment, with some of the clubs that we do play. We have a battle of the bands that is at our local booths. That's in Goshen that's coming up, which that's going to be fun. We'll know a lot of the bands that are playing in that. And then we have a show coming up in August.
Yeah. That's, I'm a board member of a group called She that deals with, people trauma and addiction. So we've got a show in August with that. We're going to be playing for a bunch of people in recovery. And it's my kind of crowd.
I love that. If there's any way we can support you just in sharing, I have a lot of people in Indiana. I'm in Oklahoma, but I have a lot of people up. So I can share that around too. Any way to help you guys.
Awesome. we love each other. We do. I love these two guys.
Yeah, I could tell. I can tell you guys are great.
One of the pieces of advice I like to give out, I learned this trick in AA when I was 22 years old. They do this thing called a God sack. So you take a brown paper bag, you write God on it, which if you're not religious or anything, you just look at it as the acronym of good orderly direction. And anytime you're struggling with, you know, the urge to have a drink or to do a line of coke, which was my favorite thing, you write that down on a piece of paper, you crumple it up, and you just, you give it over to God and you throw it in the God sack. And it's just, you're basically kind of carrying out the action of I'm giving this up and I'm giving it to a higher power, something that I can't control myself. So I got to give it up.
I like that. I do a lot of teaching within our group, and I always tell them to get what I call a fuck it basket and put it in an empty basket in the corner of the room. And each night before you go to bed, just either you can write it down and drop it in the basket, but anything you can't control or anything you need to get rid of, put it in the fuck it basket just as a visual representation to get it away. So yeah, I love that.
You know, that was one of the things I learned recently in my journeys here, is that in the end, like, stuff that's too heavy for us, we're always going to be okay. I mean, like, I've been through a thousand bad days and I'm still here kicking just like these guys are, and yeah, by myself. So the biggest thing is to let people know they matter. You know, you're somebody's son, daughter, husband, wife, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, like, your life matters. Don't, you know, slow down. That's, everything's going
to
be okay.
I think everybody wants to be seen and, you know, made to feel like they matter. And we go so fast in life and we fail to do that sometimes as humans. So
we definitely get a little more empathy out there, I think, man. Like,
yeah,
stuff in our guy's shoes for a minute. That just cut you off instead of throwing something at him. Like, I'm known for road rage was never my, that was the last thing I got rid of, I think, but I still, that's a tough one. But,
you know, really, somebody came to me, I would listen. And I would be present in the moment and listen. You know, I've learned that in proper communication, really. You know, ask them what they need. Then just listen. Just be there. Present, you know.
That's a good answer. So.
Yeah, not this. Yeah, you're sad. You're sad. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Right.
That usually, I've seen that happen so many times. Like, oh, yeah, okay. So what are you sad about?
Those phones are, that's a devil, isn't
it? Yeah.
Yep.
You're the devil of us.
so much. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. Is there anything else you guys want to share with us or share with me?
Just look for us. Check out our social media. You know, come to a show because we have a great time on stage. So.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
We have. I like the
week. I believe in that show. I'm telling you, I'm getting one, every last person that's sitting on their ass in the back up front to party with us.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life with KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynn.com,